And welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com. Archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Wade. Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah, did. I was down in Midland, Odessa. Actually, Odessa, Midland, they told me.
Is that right? Odessa,
yeah,
Midland. Okay.
I had a talk this weekend. It was great. Lots of good folks down there. And really, man, just highlighted Dr. Richard Bartlett's presentation. He brought up probably 7 or 8 patients that had been just absolutely abused. Absolutely unbelievable that this is happening in America, but the abuse they sustained by various medical folks down there in that area. And it's not, obviously, it's not just Odessa, Midland area. It's Lubbock, it's Amarillo, it's Abilene, it's the entire United States. And, I mean, we're witnessing the complete destruction and fall of that conventional system. They've lost all credibility in the public's eyes. These folks at this talk were what they described, the abuse that their family members, their loved ones had to go through. It's just brought anger, rage, and sadness all rolled up into one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and that's why we're here, teaching the truth on health with the goal being that you shouldn't need a doctor. You shouldn't need to worry about an ICU being full or a hospital being full. Actually, it's only half full, but they can't staff the other half, so they call it full. But you shouldn't have to worry about any medical, any chronic disease. You're designed to be well and healthy. This is all new modern disease since we've been under this 110-year experiment of pharmaceutical-based approach to medicine that is highly infiltrated by the pharmaceutical industry, which also controls the news media. A couple little headlines before we bring in our guest that came out over the past few days is a new Swedish study finds that mRNA can alter human DNA. We were warned about this. The truth-giving doctors and researchers out there stood up and warned about this at the very beginning before this gene therapy shot came out. The mRNA could get into the nucleus and it could alter our DNA. There's a potential for that. A high potential was the warning. And instead of heeding that warning and informing people during the informed consent process before they got the gene therapy shot that was called a vaccine, which is not, it's gene therapy. But instead of informing people of this potential risk, and why would we say potential 2 years ago? Because we didn't know for sure, because we hadn't done the long-term studies. But this study came out, and it's the second one of its kind, and it showed the Pfizer gene therapy shot, almost called it the wrong thing, can be reverse transcribed into the DNA. This was done in a human liver cell. So this messenger RNA goes into the nucleus, gets rewritten into the DNA of that cell, just as we were warned. Second headline came out. Excuse me. They found a sequence in the SARS-CoV-2, a gene sequence, a little spliced-in sequence of that genetic makeup. In this particular run of genes, and that specific sequence was patented by Moderna 3 years prior to the COVID Moderna RNA shot coming out. What are the chances of that just randomly happening? Infinitesimal. It's impossible. But I'm about to go off on a tangent here. We have a guest we need to bring on. So as the quote-unquote evidence-based medicine, conventional medicine, pharmaceutical-based healthcare system, put that in quotes because it's a sick care system that manages symptoms instead of resolving symptoms, as that continues to fall, we're going to continue to bring on guests who have been healed outside of that system, and that potentially were abused or at the very minimum, I guess, not helped by that system. And I want to say that there are plenty of great nurses and doctors in that system, and they're kind of trapped. They are definitely trapped in that system. And all they learned in medical school and nursing school is how to treat a symptom. And so they're in this horrible situation of needing a paycheck and needing to try to do the best they can for their patients with a very, very limited fund of knowledge and a very limited toolbox, which is pharmaceutical based only. So we're bringing in a guest today, Kristen, who's a nurse, and she's not been a patient. And that's one of the greatest things, and the reason I'm highlighting Kristen, she was not a patient at Veritas Medical. She I'll let her tell her story of her experience with healing without a doctor, or maybe got some education from a doctor, but was not officially treated by a medical person like myself. She treated herself, and her body did what it's designed to do, which was get well. But it was quite the journey and quite the story. So, Kristen, welcome to the show today.
Hi, Dr. Ben. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And I forgot to ask you before we came on air. I don't want to assume I can use your last name. Unfortunately, this day and age, sometimes there's people are punished for coming on air and speaking the truth, especially if they work in the healthcare industry. So I'm going to leave that up to you. But I want you, if you don't mind, Kristen, first, thank you so much. I know you're a busy lady and you are working as a nurse up in Washington State, and that you're taking time out of your morning and your work day. So thank you for that. And I'd like to just start with you kind of sharing with people a little bit about who you are, where you came from, and then we'll get into your health history.
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually am a born and raised Texan in the Dallas area, and lived in Lubbock for a short season. But my background is ER nursing, so that's what I've been doing since I graduated nursing school. And moved up to Washington State a year ago to enjoy the mountains. That is my passion, just any outdoor activity, backpacking, rock climbing, second to people in Jesus Christ. But, yeah, that's a little bit about myself.
All right. So tell us kind of about the I don't know if you're ever officially diagnosed, but your symptoms and your kind of the progression of what led you to when we first met outside of my office.
Yeah, so I was healthy as far as I knew before this happened, but about 2 years ago or so, I was actually at work in the ER and just all of a sudden started to feel super dizzy and fatigued and weak and just felt off. And so I went home just thinking it was some sort of viral process and it should, you know, make its way through my body. But the symptoms persisted and I continued to have a bunch of random symptoms like horrible headaches. I was losing a lot of weight, difficulty feeling like I was taking a full breath. I was having these horrible panic attacks, which anxiety was never a part of my life before this. And so just strange things. And the thing that got me was my muscles in my upper legs started to get really fatigued and weak to where I had difficulty walking and became pretty dependent on my husband for just basic tasks and getting around. And so as a nurse, that was kind of my red flag of, okay, something is not right with my body. And those are the symptoms I began to experience. And so I actually reached out to my PCP at the time, and she actually wouldn't see me because I had a COVID test pending. That was back when it took like 10 days to get your test back. And so that kind of forced me to go into the emergency room. And this is my first experience as a patient in the conventional medical system. And that was an experience. They did a bunch of tests on me in the hospital, and neurology kind of took me on as their patient and did a bunch of tests, and everything came back normal. So they gave me a diagnosis, of course, and then sent me home and said follow-up. And so, that started the journey of being bounced around from neurology, and then neurology referred me to my PCP for fatigue, and my PCP referred me to gastroenterology for my nausea, and then gastroenterology referred me to cardiology for my tachycardia, and it, you know, I just felt like a hot potato being passed around in the system. And just everyone would spend about 5 minutes with me and focus on their specialty and then send me home. And neurology eventually diagnosed me with an autoimmune disease, myasthenia gravis, which I knew enough about that to not feel peace about that. But they gave me a medication, of course, and kind of said, good luck. And the medication did not help. And so I was just kind of stuck in this place of no one being able to help me. And, you know, as an active person, being plopped in my bed and not able to work and not able to take care of my basic needs. And it was a very, very dark season of my life and very frustrating and super, super helpless feeling to not be able to be helped. And so that's kind of where I was before the Lord led me to some friends and some wisdom and knowledge on how to heal my body.
Well, what time period was that you just went through right there? Of bouncing around back and forth, trying to get diagnosed?
That took probably about 5 months. I mean, it took me from when I first got into the ER to when I got into neurology the second time was 2 months. So, I mean, it was a long period of time just being bounced around.
Okay. And when you were describing that season of your life, it made me think about a quote from Dr. Mark Hyman, who's a medical doctor at Cleveland Clinic Institute of Functional Medicine, which, if people don't know Dr. Hyman's story, it's a very interesting one. I recommend you go read his story. But in a nutshell, he was a small town ER family practice doc that covered the ER, I think, up in Idaho. So burning the candle at both ends, super busy, on call, doing what small town doctors do, and he got sick. With fatigue and depression, and I forget all the different symptoms, and kind of bounced around, you know, his colleagues, and then went to the specialty hospital or tertiary care centers and medical schools and saw the experts, quote-unquote experts, and just continued to get worse, and eventually had to get outside the conventional system to find someone who could help him get to the root of the problem and fix it, which he did. Out of desperation, he was at the point of he was losing his job. He couldn't function, and he was going to have to retire early. Anyways, ended up getting well, and of course that impacts a medical professional greatly, and he changed his whole career into functional medicine. Now he's a leader of the Institute of Functional Medicine at Cleveland Clinic. But here's the quote: "The way most doctors practice medicine right now isn't working. Medical students are trained to see the body as a collection of isolated parts instead of one whole system. The ensuing move toward medical specialization, which is organizing medicine by organs and diseases, by location and symptoms, is flawed. And as a result, modern medicine is at a breaking point." That quote was from a number of years ago. I would say we're past the breaking point. We're broken. We're absolutely broken. And what Kristen just described, you know, when you have gut symptoms and you're going to go to the gastroenterologist to try to treat those symptoms. If you have neurological symptoms, you go to the neurologist to try to treat those symptoms. And if you have joint pain or fatigue or depression, you know, you'll go to the various specialists. That's how we're trained. We divide the body up into all these different parts, and then they're treated as separate parts, as Dr. Hyman just laid out. And it doesn't work. We are all interconnected. And when it comes to myasthenia gravis, which is an autoimmune disease, there's not really a specialty that encompasses autoimmune disease, which is, there's over 100 autoimmune diseases now officially. And they cover everything from, I mean, every body part. So in the nervous system, you know, there can be MS or myasthenia gravis. In the GI system, there can be Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. In your joints, there's rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis. In the skin, there's eczema and psoriasis. I mean, you can just go right down through every body part. The immune system is the issue, not the individual body part. The immune system's abnormal and attacking itself. It just happens to be attacking a certain body part, but there's not really a specialty group that's looking at the overall immune system. Why is the immune system doing this? So just a little tangent there so folks know why, in part, the U.S. healthcare system gets such poor outcomes, the worst outcomes of any healthcare system of in the industrialized world, by the way, and get worse every year since we instituted pharmaceutical-based symptomatic management. Thank you, Rockefeller and Carnegie and Abraham Flexner. We won't go down that road right now. Okay, so I mean a half a year, multiple different doctors, finally got diagnosed, was given a symptomatic treatment pill that was not working. Then you met some friends who introduced you. Before this introduction and these friends talking to you, what did you know? I mean, obviously you're a conventionally trained nurse, but just personally or from your upbringing, did you know there was anything outside of conventional medicine, anything quote-unquote alternative or holistic prior to talking with your friends?
Honestly, not really. I knew about the naturopathic approach of more herbal remedies per se, but I had never heard of integrative functional medicine and root cause approach to illness. In nursing school, we're taught the same way of noticing a symptom and just managing it. And so the root cause approach was foreign to me, sadly.
Yeah, it is sad. Very, very sad. But more and more eyes are waking up to it. So as you started to hear that, kind of talk about that part of the story as you got introduced to root cause medicine.
Yeah, so my neighbor at the time in Lubbock had heard about what was going on, and she knew about your clinic and had a lot of wisdom to share. And she came over to my house one day with some trace mineral drops and a little Ziploc bag of some cod liver and beef liver and whole food vitamin C. And I was like, what is this? but she started to teach me a little bit about just the integrative approach and root cause thinking and just giving the body what it needs and allowing itself to heal. And, of course, I was desperate at that time because the medical system had failed me, honestly, and left me in a place of severe illness. And so I started to take, you know, some of those whole food vitamins and started to remineralize my body. And shortly after that, she invited me over to you guys' house and encouraged me to seek some wisdom from you. And I don't even remember what wisdom you gave me, honestly, but I was just overwhelmed by your willingness to talk to me and to share wisdom, and just the kindness you had shared with me was something I had not experienced in the healthcare world. And so that was really impactful to me. And so I went home that day and just started listening to your radio show and just started to educate myself and was introduced to, you know, Weston A. Price and Dr. Morley Robinson, Root Cause Protocol, and just was soaking it all up and started to integrate a lot of those lifestyle changes. And that's when the healing started to come.
What were some of the first things you noticed? And give the listeners an idea of kind of the timeline, too, because, I mean, let me say one thing before you go into that. I want to highlight to the listeners that what Kristen did initially was simply start to remineralize with foundational nutrition, whole food, vitamin C, cod liver oil, beef liver. These are foods. Yeah, they're basically delivered in a pill form, and so there's processing to them, and it's best to get it from an actual food on your plate. But as we've talked about on the show, it can be difficult with today's modern farming techniques and just the way food gets picked early, 1,000 miles away, put on a truck, shipped to wherever. So if you can find stuff locally, vine ripened or butchered locally and pasture raised and all those things, that's optimal. But especially if you're coming out of a place of 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years of standard American diet and lifestyle and stress, and you're extremely depleted, then supplemental nutrients to the diet are key. So, you know, Kristen didn't start with, you know, 20 different supplements for every single symptom she had. She started with a foundation of, let's put the nutrition back into the body. So just wanted to highlight that. But then kind of what time frame? Because it is, we live in a world of quick fixes. You know, go to the doctor, get a shot, get a pill. I want to feel better tomorrow or tonight. And so that's kind of not how it works in root cause resolution medicine. So talk a little bit about that, Kristen.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely had the perspective of I want to get well, and I want to get well now in my timing. But the Lord was very gracious to meet me in that space of impatience. But even starting the whole food supplements and changing my food that I was eating, I still had the perspective of I am going to heal. You know, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and feel better. And it was a very, very discouraging at times and challenging journey because the healing was so slow. And I think, like you're saying, if we really are hitting disease from the root cause, it's going to take time to heal. And so I would say from when I started my lifestyle changes to when I could really claim healing, it was at least a year minimum, probably more, maybe a year and a half for my body to totally get back to where I was, if not stronger before. But I would look back, you know, and think, where was I a month ago? And I was stronger, had more energy than I did the month before. And so I kind of had to view it in month chunks to measure progress, but it was definitely a challenging and very slow journey.
Yeah. Well, you're to be commended for sticking with it and believing in yourself, your body's design, and this foundational approach to things. And that's great, the measurement of progress. And we encourage our patients that we see in our clinic to do that, to both measure and grade themselves on the four pillars: nutrition, hydration, movement, and peace. Be honest and just grade yourself over the last month. Would you give yourself an A, a B, a C, or an F? And so if someone's got C's and F's or maybe a B here and there, then we would expect that their healing is probably not happening or extremely slow. But if they can stack up some A's and B's on their report card for a few months in a row, then we would expect that they can look back on their symptom profiles and go, yep, that fatigue has improved 20%, my joint pain's improved 30%, or whatever, little by little by little. So the measurement, marking on the calendar on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10's the worst exacerbated symptom and 1 is hardly at all, and because that'll motivate you to keep going when it is a slow process. So you sent me a text. I don't know how much we talked after that initial visit. We may have talked or texted once or twice, but basically I kind of didn't hear from you for a long time. I didn't know that you moved, I don't think. But anyways, got a text from you one day, and you were on top of, was it Mount Olympia that you were on top of?
Not Baker,
okay. It was unbelievable. The top of this huge mountain, is that a 14er?
It is not, but it is a glaciated peak here in Washington, so it's a good
tall
one.
Yeah, so she's at the top of this mountain, arms up in the air, just like I conquered the world. from when I last saw you, you were so, I would say, weak as a kitten. I mean, you were just tired, you were fatigued, you were weak, you were downtrodden, almost, I would say, depressed even. So it was such an uplifting moment for me personally when I saw that picture of you on top of that mountain. So that was awesome. And the first thing I thought of was, wow, she got better. And honestly, my first thought was, I wonder who else she went and saw and what gadgets did she employ? What IVs did she get? What cool protocols did she do? But your text explained it, that it was that foundational stuff. Yeah. So looking back, if you were going to advise somebody that was in your shoes, maybe even a nurse, an ER nurse that was now on disability and at home and can't work and so frustrated, or just, a patient in general, especially a younger patient, a young lady like yourself, what would you tell them? And both practically speaking, was there something that you did that you think, man, this was really key, I had to do this thing, that was like foundational key issue, or anything else you would encourage them in?
Yeah, I would just really encourage you to just walk in that truth that God designed our bodies to heal, and He designed them to be well. He didn't design them with the intent for them to be sick. And he is an amazing creator and created such an incredible design, and it's his. And there is so much truth to the fact that God gave us just what we need through the ground, through fruits and vegetables and animals, for our bodies to thrive and be well and to heal. But anything, you know, man has touched, we tend to just mess that up with our produce and our processed food and even all the chemicals in our environment. We truly are making ourselves sick. So for me, it really started with just the food. So I was actually vegetarian before, and so I started to integrate meats, and I really paid attention to the quality. So 100% grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, you know, good quality chicken and eggs, and really focused on the fat. I think that was a huge part of my healing journey, was reintegrating high-quality animal fats, like 100%, you know, grass-fed butter and good coconut oil. And then I did switch to organic produce. We did move our budget around a little bit, but I think that is a worthy place to move some budget money to your body. And then, you know, really focused on getting out in the sun every day, kind of decreasing my sugar and processed grains and vegetable oils and all the man foods, tried to get away from it. I did a lot of real sea salt and just focusing on remineralizing my body. I was a long-distance runner before this and never really was educated on remineralizing, so I think I lost a lot there. And I did integrate, you know, the whole food vitamins, so making sure my vitamins were coming from a whole food source and not a synthetic source, and so my body would recognize it. So the cod liver and the beef liver, whole food vitamin C, and integrated a little bit of Dr. Morley's root cause protocol at the beginning there to kind of get myself going. And really just, you know, fell in love with food and how good God is to give us such wonderful, delicious, nutritious food to help our bodies be well and heal. And then I will say the more my body healed, the more my mind healed as well. I did have a lot of, you know, really horrible anxiety and depression with this. But I think the body-mind connection is so important, and it can go both ways. So I feel like the more my body healed, the more my mind healed too, which is really, really beautiful. But I would say just one step at a time and to be patient. It is such a challenging and dark journey, but I think there's so much to learn in those moments of difficulty. I know for me, my eyes have been open to, you know, the brokenness of the medical system and just the power that God gave us what we needed to heal. And I think that's so empowering, or should be empowering, to hear as a patient that you have the cure within you and that you have the power and you can take responsibility for what you put in your body and what you surround yourself with in your home. And you can take control, and you don't have to be dependent on a doctor or wait 2 months to get into a specialist. I know every situation is different, but there is so much healing that you can do while you're waiting even to get into the specialist. And it's possible, and it's empowering, and I think it's really beautiful that that's how God designed us.
Yeah.
So there is hope, is what I want to tell people.
Amen. Praise God. There's always hope, and our hope is in Him and His amazing design of this entire creation, but definitely our bodies. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Kristen, as an ER nurse, treated COVID, and she had an experience in a hospital. And we'll get into that a little bit or a lot, whatever Kristen's comfortable with. When we get back from the break, so y'all stick with us. We will be right back. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.
And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. That's right. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows, other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's what we do at VeritasMedical.com. Check out that website, VeritasMedical.com.
Thank you, Wade. And also on the website, we've kind of revamped it. And as you'll see, if you go on there, there's at the top, you can pick available plans. And under that drop-down menu, there's various plans, including DIY, do-it-yourself. Just listen to some videos and podcasts, read some blog articles, get educated, and start making some changes on your own. The next step up from that's an education plan where you can meet with a wellness navigator, which is the Veritas version of a health coach, and you can meet via phone or you can arrange to do that in person if you're here locally. But basically get the education and support with the one-on-one help and guidance of an experienced wellness navigator. And we actually are requiring all folks who want to be in the medical part of our business to come through that education program first. And my firm belief is 80 or 90% of people, as Kristen is testifying to here, can get better just with that education and changing the diet and lifestyle and getting the support and having someone walk with you and encourage you and counsel you through that. So I encourage folks to get on there and make those changes. And that's a free will offering-based education program, meaning we don't require you to pay us anything. And if you feel like paying something, well, of course, we welcome that. We have to pay the bills, too, but we don't want to limit people's access to the truth by putting a dollar amount on there. So it's a free will offering program. All right, back to Kristen. So, Kristen, you got all well. It took a year, year and a half, but you made it. You climbed the top of a mountain, and you're back to living life and being who God made you to be, both enjoying His creation outside, outdoors, and the hiking, but also as a nurse, an ER nurse. So up in Washington State, you got a job. We're working the ER. We're treating COVID patients in the ER. And you kind of ran up against a little issue there. So we'll let you tell the listeners that story.
Yep, so lots of COVID in the ER. And I had begun to hear about some success that doctors specifically in Texas, maybe just because of my network, but we're having with treating COVID patients with early outpatient treatments and therapeutics. And I was hearing their numbers and success and statistics and was very intrigued. I was like, okay, that's amazing and encouraging. I need to listen to this because in the ER, you know, we're an outpatient setup as well. And so I got connected with the FLCCC and their protocol and was looking at all the encouraging studies of ivermectin and just simple things like vitamin C, vitamin D, all those things. And that was exciting to me as a healer. I'm like, yes, let's go. And so in my ER specifically, we weren't doing a whole lot. We would do a chest x-ray, you know, do some blood, do a blood panel, and we would really just send them home, and the discharge would say, you know, take Tylenol for pain or fever and come back to the ER if you have increasing shortness of breath or difficulty breathing. And so we really weren't giving them a lot of, we weren't setting them up for success, really. We weren't giving them any help or therapeutics, and so as a nurse, you know, it's our job to educate and advocate for our patients, and so I was seeing this in the medical literature, and so I began to educate my COVID patients with a lot of the FLCCC protocol, and it was a plethora of things. I was like, okay, make sure you're staying away from sugar, make sure you just try to eat real foods, put some bone broth on. Make sure you're staying mineralized, add some sea salt to your water, lots of herbal teas, take some vitamin C, take some vitamin D, take some zinc even, quercetin, you know, all those things they were recommending. And I said, you know, and ivermectin, here's the studies behind that. Talk to your doctor about maybe getting a prescription for that. That's really encouraging, very safe medication. And one day I was pulled out of a patient room, and my manager learned what I was doing about the educating about COVID treatment and was very upset with me and told me that it was very inappropriate and that protocol is not approved by our hospital, etc. And it very quickly escalated to a meeting with HR that I had no idea what's happening. Once again, they pulled me out of a patient room one day and took me to this meeting with a couple of gentlemen from HR, and they sat me down and accused me of sharing misinformation and kind of read me that misinformation type stuff that I think the Department of Health had written up, and of negligence and a lot of horrible accusations, and ended up telling me to clock out, and I wasn't allowed to come back into the hospital until they finished my investigation. And they reported me to the Department of Health as well for misinformation. And so it was a very discouraging and a little traumatizing, honestly, experience. I had no intent of being malicious or anything. It was simply coming from a joyful and excited place of being able to help my patients and give them the best shot that they could at surviving this, which can be a little nasty virus. But it was very interesting to see how the hospital viewed it. And
Wow. So you were asked to basically take a leave of absence till the investigation was over. Did they conclude that investigation? Did you go back to work, or what happened from there?
So I never heard back from them. I actually decided to resign about 2 weeks later, something the Lord led me to. I just ethically, couldn't work for a company that wasn't allowing me to freely educate my patients and or work for a company that, wasn't treating patients either, or allowing patients to be treated or to have access to education. So I ended up resigning, and I am now working for a integrative functional medicine clinic here in town, actually. And what drew me to them is they were the only ones in town treating COVID patients. And so I said, okay, that's where I want to be. I'm passionate about people healing and getting well. And so I started to work for them, and we've treated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of COVID patients with early outpatient treatment and ivermectin and a bunch of other therapeutics. And we've seen a lot of people heal and get well.
Wow. Hallelujah. So you've kind of, in the last 2 years, you have run the gamut of completely conventional, conventionally trained, conventionally raised, kind of like myself, didn't have a clue about anything really alternative. But then through your personal suffering and inability to get well, and then addressing root causes, and you got well, but then as a professional working in this conventional setting, just the horrible treatment that you personally had to endure, but the patients. I mean, these patients being kicked out,
right.
Sent home with no treatment. And I mean, when I give talks now, I try to remind people that, hey, if the hospital suddenly pulled albuterol off their formulary or made it illegal to prescribe, and Walgreens and CVS wouldn't fill the doctor's prescriptions, then we'd have ICUs full of asthmatic kids. I mean, if you're not going to treat inflammation of the airway and constriction of the airway because you are told not to, and the pharmacies won't fill meds, and that's what we're dealing with COVID. I mean, definitely treatable, as you've witnessed. I've witnessed many doctors in Texas and throughout the country, as Peter McCullough says, there's about 500 doctors taking care of the whole country. It's clear. I mean, we're 2 years into this. It's not even hardly worth talking about or debating because it's so clear. You have a unique perspective is what I'm getting at. You've come from conventional all the way over to integrative. You're working at an integrative clinic now. You've been healed by root cause resolution type of stewardship of your personal health. Just as you step back and kind of look at the world of healthcare in America, what are your thoughts about it? Or if you maybe had a family member or friend or someone asking you about going into nursing or going to medical school or going to PA school, what kind of advice would you be giving? Or just where do you see healthcare kind of going in the years to come, the U.S. healthcare system?
Yeah, Yeah, taking a step back and looking at, you know, the big picture through my experiences, it really just breaks my heart, honestly, just to see so many patients just be stuck in this system of symptom management and, like we all call it, sick care. I mean, no one's getting better. We're becoming such a sick nation. And even from an ER perspective, I mean, a majority of the patients that come into the ER, they aren't having an emergency. They're having a chronic health condition flare-up. And what do? We give them another dose of medication or something and then send them home. And they're stuck in this cycle of not getting well. And so to me, it just breaks my heart to see these patients who just aren't getting educated or in knowing truth, that they actually have a lot of power and ability to help themselves heal. And just my heart does break for the healthcare professionals too, because like you and I both know, we weren't really educated about the healing properties of food or nutrition. I know I really didn't learn much about that at all. And I never learned that you could cure diabetes or cure or reverse high blood pressure and all these things. So I guess to the other health professionals or people considering going into the health profession, I would just challenge yourself to keep an open mind when going through school and to not view what you're hearing as the only way it can be done. And really, you know, if I could go back, I would ask more questions to my professors. I would ask more whys and really challenge your professors and doctors or nurses you work with to think critically of, hey, why does this patient keep coming in for high blood pressure? What do you think? Like, why is their blood pressure always high? And try to encourage your coworkers and your professors to start thinking with a more root cause mentality and think critically. I think we've lost that ability. We follow so many protocols. In the ER, we do a lot of protocols. And sometimes we forget to think critically and ask the why. And then I would just encourage you to just keep the compassion and to go to the creator who created the body for advice and wisdom when trying to figure something out, and to always seek wisdom from the Lord and keep compassion for humanity alive. That's why we go into healing. But right now it's not a very compassionate environment, and that it's easy to kind of take on that negative judgmental attitude. But to stay compassionate and to go into that profession to heal and to love people.
I could not have said it better myself, Kristen. That was an amazing interview. Thank you. A lot of wisdom there.
Awesome.
And that personal testimony, you know, going back to the Book of Truth, it's in Revelation, I think, 12. 12:11. Revelation 12:11. They overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And modern medicine tells us, don't listen to testimonies. They call them anecdotal reports. You know, if conventionally trained, hardcore, especially if they're not a believer, would hear this interview today, they would laugh at it and say, that's just an anecdotal report. Myasthenia gravis got better with just diet and lifestyle. Don't listen to that. But it was in one anecdotal report from my old nurse practitioner down in Post 10 years ago who got better from celiac disease by diet and lifestyle changes. And then 10 of my sickest patients, from fibromyalgia to lupus to horrible depression to horrible diabetes to chronic urticaria to chronic prostatitis that wouldn't get well. It was the 10 stubborn, tough cases that all got better. 10 anecdotal reports that solidified it for me. The testimonies are powerful. So thank you for your testimony, your witness to the truth. Thank you for being bold and brave. It would have been easy to cower. It would have been easy just to stay in that conventional system and stay sick, basically. But it definitely would have been easy to cower to your boss who has given you a paycheck. And so many people fear lack of provision. But you stood for the truth and stood for your patients' well-being. So that speaks a lot of you and your character. So I've counted an honor to know you and to have met you along your journey and being one little tiny piece of it and really just trying to point you to back to the fact that your body will fix itself as yours did. So thank you for joining us today and for taking some time out of your day.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Ryan. Thank you for your courage as well to stand for truth and just to share the wisdom God has given you, because it changed my life and I know it's changed a lot of others. So thank you for your courage and wisdom and love as well.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. Praise be to God. He's the one. He's the source of everything, of our courage,
right,
and of our strength, and obviously the truth that guides us. So, all right. That was Kristen, an amazing nurse up in Washington State. If y'all are ever up in Washington, I'm sure she'd love to take you on a hike to the top of Mount Baker.
Absolutely.
All right, Kristen. Well, if you're ever back in Lubbock, look us up.
Yes, sir. Will do.
Okay, everybody. Thank y'all for joining us today. We will be back next week with another great show. I'm Ben Edwards. You're The Cure.